Welcome to Promise 686 and our new initiative, 111 Project Georgia. Promise 686 is a ministry that supports adoption, foster care, and the Safe Families Program to Christian families in the Metro Atlanta area. Our 501c3 organization seeks to minister to vulnerable children by removing barriers that prevent families from caring for them. We offer matching and legal grants to adopting families in the local area. We provide wraparound services to foster, adoptive, and safe families through our volunteer network. Our new effort, 111 Project Georgia, is a growing collaboration of local churches which seeks to recruit, train, equip, and support 111 new foster families in Georgia over the next 3 years. The name 111 Project refers to our hope that one church would recruit and support at least one foster family for one purpose, to leave no Georgia child without a family. We hope you enjoy this recording of Chris Bratcher, the main speaker from our Blue Ribbon Luncheon, launching 111 Project Georgia. Chris shares from his personal experience growing up in and out of a Christian foster home.
Whew, that video was powerful. It's so hard for me to see that, and I know sometimes it's so easy to just hear the numbers and just be like, what does this mean? And it's almost paralyzing to know where to begin. But my story is just kind of represents a small fraction of all the stories in this country, in Georgia, in this county. But I'm so privileged and honored to get to share my story. It was a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Jonna, one of the event planners for today, and I told her, I'm excited to share my story. I'd love to do that, but I've got to tell you, it's not your typical foster care story. And I loved what she said. She said, well, Chris, in foster care, there's really no typical story. It's messy. And those words, it's messy, really resonate with me because that's what my story is. It's messy. My story picks up, starts off about 28 years ago in a hospital in Kentucky. I was 3 months old. And I was in the hospital because of severe physical abuse and neglect. Both my arms and legs were broken. I was a three-month-old baby without a home. But it was on Valentine's Day of 1985, when my foster parents, Brad and Valley, came to the hospital to pick me up and to take me into their home. And I don't remember, obviously, as a baby, but that changed the course of my life. And I don't have the story that you might hear where people go from home to home, maybe shelter to shelter. I'm so thankful and blessed that that wasn't my story. But at 3 months old, they took me into their home, not for a week, not for a month, but for 6 years. I was with them. That was my home. That was my safety. That was my family. I saw them as my mom and dad. They had adopted a son and daughter. They were my big brother. They were my big sister. I was their little brother. I picked on them. They picked on me. I was part of the family. We grew up in the country. So many great memories of swimming and getting into trouble and doing all kinds of stuff. I grew up in the church. They modeled a Christian home for me. They loved me. They were my family. Over those 6 years, there was a bigger story unfolding. And for a few years, my birth mother, Rose, had been fighting and battling with the court system and eventually regained custody of me after 6 years. But before that transition happened, my foster parents, they were devastated. I love hearing stories when kids get to go back to their home. I love those stories. But those aren't always, it's not always the best case for the kids sometimes. And that was my story. But before that actually happened, my foster parents had planned to adopt me. So their hearts were aching. They were going through a lot of pain. It was difficult for them, for my brother and sister as well. But it was during those couple weeks and months before the transition happened that they really were my rock. They were my strength. They helped me go on bi-weekly visits, weekly visits, eventually overnight visits. They helped me with that transition. They were in my corner the whole time. But I remember, like it happened yesterday, I was leaving a visit from Rose, my birth mother. I was crying at 6 years old. I was starting to understand what was going to happen in the next couple weeks. And my foster mother, Valley, we were driving home. I was in tears, kind of like now. I'm a big baby. I'm sorry. I was in tears. We were driving home. We were in the van. And she pulled the car over. And I'll never forget what happened. Sorry. I took my hand, and she placed my hand in hers, and she started praying. She started reading the 23rd Psalm. You guys know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I remember as a six-year-old kid, my world was about to flip upside down. But I knew in that moment, as I heard those words, He is my shepherd. He leads me. He comforts me. He's with me. And I will never forget what that was for me. That was an incredible gift. In a moment where my life was really flipping upside down, I knew to the best that I could in my little six-year-old brain, in my six-year-old heart, that God was with me. He was going to protect me. A couple weeks passed, and the time was finally coming when I was going to go back to live with Rose. And I remember leaving Braddon Valley. And it wasn't a baby-snatching moment, but it was difficult. It was difficult for me. It was difficult for them. It was a difficult time for me. I remember going back into her home, and there's really no other word to say. It was weird. I didn't know what to call her. She wanted me to call her Mom, but she didn't feel like Mom. It didn't feel like home. It was weird. I was scared. I was confused. I was angry. It was so hard, so hard. But my foster parents, Brad and Valley, just because I left them, they did not leave me. They were still in my corner. I'm so thankful and blessed that Rose made the decision for me to still have contact with him during those years. There were still some ups and downs in her life, but every time, every single time, she needed somebody to turn to, who was there? Brad and Valley, my foster parents. If she couldn't pick me up from baseball or basketball or pick me up from school, who did it? Brad and Valley. They were there for me. I called them. I would get home from school at 3:30 every day. Who would I call? Brad and Valley. When something happened at school that I was so excited about, who would I call? Brad and Valley. They were there. Every time. They were also there for her. Every single time. A few years went by, and I started to get into a normal routine. Things started to settle down. Enjoyed life. But throughout that time, Rose was making some really bad decisions and really bad choices with her work. Some really bad choices that eventually led to her having to serve a few years in prison. There were some other things going on too. She was divorced. She had difficulty with jobs. We had a couple moves. But in the midst of all that, she made a very difficult decision too, and one that I'm very thankful for and very appreciative of. When I was 14 years old, Rose signed over a full legal guardianship to who? Brad and Valley. My mom and dad. They were there. They were there for the long haul. They were my safety, my security, my consistency. But the story doesn't just end there. I could take this little Justin Timberlake microphone off and walk off right now. But the story doesn't end right there. God wasn't finished. There was a bigger story unfolding. But I remember moving back, packing up my stuff, moving back to my mom and dad, to my family, to my home. And I got there late at night, probably 12 o'clock at night. I was moving back home. And I remember walking back in, and I could breathe. I could breathe. I felt like I was home. And like I said, the story doesn't end there either. Throughout that time, throughout high school, my early years of high school, and even after that, I was still angry. I was still bitter. I was still resentful at Rose. But God used that time, and God used my mom and dad to help me work through that, and some other very strong people in my life to work through that. But God was working on Rose too. God helped her understand the importance of that security and safety and how much I needed that. God helped her work through a lot of feelings of rejection and shame that I know you guys know about that. And you guys see that on a daily basis with moms and dads who lose their kids. It's messy, right? It's really messy. But God was using that time to restore a lot of brokenness. But the story doesn't end there either. It keeps expanding. And to this day, I love to brag on Rose. I love to brag on her. A couple years ago, She graduated from college, got her bachelor's. She's a Christian. She's a believer. A complete 180 turnaround. She has a great job. She pours back into the community. Very highly respected. She's in the paper all the time, but now in a good way. Here lately, she's been calling me, and her new passion is for foreign missions. Foreign missions? Are you kidding me? It blows my mind to hear her talk about it. To hear her talk about loving on kids in Honduras, holding them, playing with them. God had a bigger story that continues to unfold. My heart has been shaped by my experience. My heart continues to break for foster care, for adoption. As Kurt was saying, I do have a very feisty, not only wife, but also have a very feisty two-year-old. This time last year, almost a year ago, my wife and I were in Ethiopia seeing our daughter for the first time. Every time I see her, she's so cute. So cute. Chubby cheeks. Beautiful hair. Every time I see her, I go back to when I was a kid. I didn't know it when I was 3 months old, but there was a bigger story. A bigger story unfolding. On a daily basis, as a therapist, I work with couples and families and individuals who are broken and hurting. I know my experiences have shaped my heart for that. I know that change is possible when you have people in your corner. I know that because I had people in my corner in Braddon Valley. So what does that mean? In the midst of this crisis, you guys heard the numbers on the video. They can stay numbers and just be like, okay, that's not for me. That's crazy talk. Those numbers are big. What am I gonna do? Maybe some of you guys in here are called to be foster parents. Maybe you guys have been praying and feeling that stirring for quite some time. I don't know. But maybe some of you guys in here can also partner with respite, volunteering. There's so many ways to partner when you understand that it's not about saving a child. It's about giving them a home and a sense of belonging. Something that tens of thousands of kids do not have. It is an incredible gift to give them that. I remember with my mom and dad, my foster parents, I was probably 6 or 7, and we'd be out and about at the grocery store or at the mall or wherever, and I'd be real close with them, and they'd see somebody they knew from church or work, and they would come up and they would see me. And they didn't know me, and they would always ask, this happened all the time. They would ask, is he a foster kid? And as an adult, I know what they mean, right? That's a logical question. They could have given a logical answer. Yes, he's a foster kid. But they didn't. Every time that happened, they would pull me close and say, he's one of ours. He's one of ours. You have no idea what that sounds like to a 6-year-old who has been broken, You have no idea what that sounds like to hear those words that he's one of ours. He's with us. That gives you the message that you're important, that you matter, that you're important enough to protect. He's one of ours. He's with us. We're in his corner. We do battle with him. Like I said, there's no typical foster care story. It's messy. But maybe God is using this opportunity to shout to you that he wants you to get messy. He wants you to get messy. Thank you guys so much for letting me share my story. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this recording from our Blue Ribbon Luncheon, which launched 111 Project Georgia. For more information on Promise 686 or 111 Project Georgia, please go to our website at www.promise686.org or email us at info@promise686.org.